Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hardman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Football Sunday right here on 1080. The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5. HD2, YouTube, and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher, the third, across the foam marble table, as always, Rashawn Taylor.
Gang, whatever that means.
And across the glass, it is not Jordan Schultz. Today, it is Big Will Betts, Will Ortner over there. What's up, dude?
Dude, I had some fun college bets yesterday.
Oh, boy. This guy.
I know, I'm already jumping into college basketball.
As you should.
College hoop.
A gambler never rests. I feel like I've been getting way too much gambling content lately. Not just sports gambling, like Instagram reels. Everything.
Hey, man.
Like
your algorithm.
Like blackjack, like Texas Hold'em. What's the one game that all the kids are playing on stake where it's like basically Plinko?
Oh,
I lose all your money.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I have those ads blocked.
Yes,
they're not allowed to come to me. I block all sports gambling content for the most part, unless it's from this fine company.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's like, you know, the game Plinko from Price is Right, classic. Who doesn't love Plinko, right?
Well, I think it's top two or three game.
I mean, whenever you had Bob Barker yelling or his PA announcer or whatever, like, what are we playing next? We're playing Plinko! The crowd just goes wild. But this is not like, this game is not like a regular Plinko board, as it's not shaped square. It's shaped like a triangle, I want to say. Oh. And I think that like basic math says that the likeliest odds is it's always going to end up in the middle. And these people just lose their money in just seconds.
Win.
Yeah.
So I might win.
And it's, I've seen a video of someone like getting 100 times their bet. But I will say, seeing the blackjack and Texas Hold'em videos pop up, it does give me a little bit of an itch to get to the tables here. Uh-oh. Soon.
Eager to lose all your money, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
All in, guys.
I do miss Texas Hold'em because I feel like back in like mid-2000s, early 2000s, it was at its peak of popularity.
Whenever you have a show on ESPN,
World Series of Poker, Chris Moneymaker.
I loved Chris Moneymaker. My dad still watches all those. All those World Series of Poker, Poker World Tour, all of them, all get taped at my parents' house. Get watched.
But I used to love having the like poker tournaments with buddies, you know, and you'd get everybody together at someone's house and have multiple tables going. I fared pretty well in my Texas Hold'em days. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I think y'all know that, you know, Will, you might not know this, but I'm not too keen on just losing my money just for fun. I'll be honest.
Well, you need to be good. That's the key difference between you and I is that, you know, I was good and I won money. Yeah, I don't know what you were doing, but
not winning money because again, there's nothing good about losing money. I mean, like, oh, guys, lost $1,300 last night. It's like, what? Why?
Well, you didn't have stupid. A lucky rabbit's foot or like your
there's no horseshoes,
shot glass or you know your favorite piece of like I don't know food that's in like this Tupperware that you brought to every poker match for the last 30 years with you.
Even when I lived in Vegas, like I think I gambled. Maybe 5 or 6 times.
Wow.
When I lived there, just because that seems weird to me. I just got paid. I know there are people that just can't wait to get paid.
Rashad, no, trust me, you're the weird one.
I know, I get it. You know what I'm saying? But like, there are people that are like, man, I can't wait to get paid. I'm going straight to the casino. I'm going straight to the,
the
machine. I'm going straight to any of those. Like, man, that's weird that you got all this money to just get ready to lose it. And I understand like there's, you know, there's strategy.
Mm-hmm.
What you're not supposed to have when you play, like counting cards and stuff like that. Like, I guess it's bad, but like, I don't know. It's just one of them things. Like, it's not fun to watch. So for anybody that's watching World Series of Poker, like, come on, man, turn to American Gladiators or something. Like, let's get something a little more appealing. Because a bunch of dudes with sunglasses on, you know, looking at the cards, being quiet doesn't seem
but
like
the sound of the chips clattering.
Is that what it is?
I mean, that's
well, I mean, they do.
Is that what it
that's
is?
Appealing. Okay.
You can learn cool tricks. My dad's got chips right by his chair that he watches all of his shows in so that he can learn how to do it. He's up to 4 on each side now.
Is your dad okay?
Yeah.
No, my dad. Sure. Look, you get to a certain point in life, and I've realized
they go to his classroom and he's teaching kids how to play Texas Hold'em.
No, he's not. But I'll
put
tell
the chips
you
away, kids.
Quick, hide. No, I'll tell you this right now. There comes a certain point in time, and I'm finding it with both of my parents, where you don't care what other people think. You just find, like, these are the things I enjoy.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm just going to do those things.
I'm 40 now, bro. Like, 41 now. So there's things that I do what I like. Outside of what I like, yeah, sorry,
I'm
bro.
Not
I'm probably
it.
Not going to do it. Now, if it's something that you're my guy or you're my people and you like it, like, hey, man, you want to come here? Okay. I'll probably roll, but... Just on my own, like, this is fine here.
I think I'll be getting there soon.
Like, you're kind of like halfway there.
I'm almost there. I was telling Rashad before the show started that my birthday, it's on Thursday. I'm turning the ripe age of 33 on Thursday. And
old.
Yeah, not. I don't know. 33, you're on the cusp.
That's not old.
You're on the cusp of getting old. I always say that I feel 10 years older than I am because I essentially just add my son's age to my age, and then that's what I feel like. So my son right now, he's 11. He's going to be 12 in March. So right now, although I'm 30, I'm going to be 33, I feel 44. That's how I really feel.
It's not good, man.
No. No, it's not. I was also telling her to try. I was like, it's time for us to start making some changes.
Yeah.
Let's change the way we eat. Let's change the way we live.
Man.
I went down to my girlfriend. I went down to her this room that is her quote-unquote workout room. It's basically become the storage closet. I go in there. She's got a Peloton. She's got a Tonal. She's got dumbbells. She's got everything. She has this fancy weighted like... I don't even know how to describe it. It's almost like a, a curl ball bar? But it's
easy
just,
curl bar.
But it's just one weight. Like, you don't put weights on it.
You just change the...
No, it's just a big, long, pink, like, just, oh, okay. I mean...
Cool.
I don't even know how to describe it, but it's one singular weight. And she says you can use it for, like, when you're doing lunges and stuff like that, and you hold on to this bar and you pull it, like, I don't know. She's got the whole setup down there. And I was like, well, shoot, I've never used a Tonal. I do want to try the Peloton because
you
I've seen those.
Tonal.
Huh?
You guys have a tonal.
I don't. She has a tonal.
So is she just looking at every YouTube ad and is like, yes, that's athletic.
It. Hey, she's
and that guy with a six pack. That she, woman with the six pack. Yeah. Bye. Yeah,
she's she definitely likes the fancier things in life.
Is there a shake weight over there as well?
No, she's she don't need a shake weight.
No, she's got
she's all good.
Big Joe Fish for that.
She's good on a shake weight. But I do want to try the Peloton because I see those videos of the Peloton instructors that say, like, they have to say the who's at the top of the leaderboard, and people will change their name on the leaderboard to, like, inappropriate names, you know, like Amanda Hug and Kiss, or, like, I'm trying to think of some other ones.
Some other ones that you can say.
Drew P. Balls.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
another one.
So immature.
It's hilarious. Because, again, these up. Peloton instructors are being watched by, like, thousands of people across the world, and they're just, and then some of them, they totally get got with the names. And so that is motivation enough for me. Like, I was trying to come up with names last night that I could come up with. First name Sal, last
you're
name.
You're going to be right, and just going to be yeah. change his name the whole time.
First name Sal, last name Id Tosser.
Nice.
Yeah, see, that's a good one right there. That's and then they just say it without a whim. You know, reading the top of the leaderboard, and then they're like, oh, my God.
Like, you got me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Dusty's actually, like, worked out in the Peloton, like, facility.
Not shocking.
That Dusty, I knew that
there was one wife, guy yeah. here at the fan that got into something like that.
Either him or probably, Sprague.
Or him or Sprague.
But I have talked to Dusty before, and he is a Peloton user, so I knew that he knew that he uses the Peloton, but he's dedicated to the game. I mean, where do they even have those studios at?
They're in like, New York. It's when he went back to New York a okay. year or so ago. I think it's more the wife's jam than like he likes working out, but I think the wife was more of like, we're going to Peloton. Like, we're going to see the Met, the Yankees, Peloton.
Peloton studio. Yeah, I think I just need to figure out what way that I like to work out. Because I was I started running a few months ago, and as you know, habits go, I went 3 weeks and then immediately stopped doing that. Running is just not my jam. I've tried it many, many times, and I give it about 3 weeks, and I'm just like, this is not.
You know what?
I'm good.
I've always had terrible knees going back to like fourth grade, fifth grade. So I always hated running, and it wasn't until just recently, not recently, maybe about a year, that I was like, running is okay. I found a spot to run to. Like, if I'll make it there and then make it home. I figure that's plenty, right? And if I can go further than that,
Wingstop.
Cool. So I used to go when I lived in Gresham. I would go from 148th to the Dairy Queen on 133rd, yes. and then back. I would never get anything, but that was like my landmark. If I can make it here, then
chicken
I'll
tender
just
basket
make it there, so.
With the gravy.
Yeah. One of those to go, please.
Reese's, yeah. Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Blizzard, please.
No, but it's one large. Of the things, like, after running and stuff like that, after working out, and Will, you know, you can test it. I think we all can. Like, the last thing I want is, like, junk food or anything like that, because I feel like I just would completely wasted this workout and then go and get some Popeyes or something like that. Like, that's always crazy. And I run at night, too. I think that's the other thing that I figured out. I don't like running in the daytime. I don't like people seeing me honking. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's up, Sean? Look at me, bro. Like,
leave me alone.
It's okay.
Get after it, young man.
I go exactly stuff like that. So I go
looking
at night,
good, looking good.
Yeah, people with the jokes all the time when I see you running. Like, yeah, seriously, man, what you doing out here? Like, man, God forgive me for running.
Damn, fatty. Like
yeah, and so I like to go at night. Only thing is, I get a little a black dude in like a black hoodie just running through. You know, now very gentrified Northeast Portland
that?
Looks a little suspect to people. So I had to get over how that
looked
for a minute. Huh?
Why does that look suspect?
There's very specific reasons. You know,
I went running once in Ellensburg, and I had a hoodie on at night, and the cops stopped me.
Hey, where are you going? Like,
but sir,
I fitted. To be fair to them, I did fit the description.
Yeah. See, I have to run in a suit and stuff if I just want to be left alone. So I don't want to have to do the Rich Eisen.
Giant bald man running down the street.
Yeah.
You're good with me, buddy.
No, it was balding man running down the street in.
Sir, I'm not balding. I am just bald.
In a sweatshirt that was ripped because the other person jumped a fence and ripped their sweatshirt. Mine just had holes in it.
Because they couldn't contain your muscles.
I had black. No, I was just fat. I had black shorts.
Just hulking out.
I found like the fattest photo of me last night. It made me laugh so hard. It's so bad.
See,
aren't those the worst to look at those? I'm like, ugh,
it's
yikes.
Shirt off, body, like belly painted in a W for Central Washington at a volleyball game.
Let's go.
College.
Hell yeah.
I don't have pockets, so my phone's in my like shorts, and you can see my belly roll over the phone.
Ooh. Yeah, that's tough. See, I had the complete opposite video interaction this week. Similar to you, Will, but it was not seeing myself. I was big then. I saw a video of myself about a year and a half ago where I was probably 25 to 30 pounds lighter than what I am now. And that was one of those where I'm like, see, we need to get back to that.
Yeah, Joe, this is that relationship weight, bro.
We need to get back to that.
It happens.
Because you're happy right now.
You're happy right now. It's like, man, I don't eat anything. I'm not checking for these chicks out here. More pasta, please. Like, it happens like that. It happens like that.
I do like that Montelupo Italian food. There's a lot of, The girlfriend, I blame her. That's what I should do.
You should.
I should just blame her for all my problems.
Is she 20 pounds bigger?
I don't know. I'm not going to ask her that.
I mean,
hey, babe, jump on the scale for me, would you?
Weighing ourselves. Let's see where we are.
If you could tell me how much you weighed when we first started dating versus now.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, just document it all.
There is definitely, I have a number in mind as far as weight loss goal, but it's a lofty one. It's a lofty number.
I don't think you should focus on so much a number as far as just losing the weight. And then every week or so, oh, man, yeah, lost another 7 pounds, but... Don't set a number, man. Just focus on losing weight, bro.
I should just starve myself.
You can
emaciate myself.
They're calling that intermittent fasting. Yeah. Is what that's called now.
I'm down.
There's a word for it now.
Let's give it a try. All right. Let's get to going here. We have football stuff we got to talk about. We've got conference championship games. Can't believe we've made it. We've got a Pro Bowl match to preview.
The flag match?
They're not doing any actual football anymore. It's just flag football.
It should be just flag football.
And then they get like the linemen to push heavy things.
I was going to say, I feel like I speak for Will and all the linemen out there. Disrespectful. Disrespectful to the hog mollies up front.
No, the best would be if they got all the fat guys and they're like, O-line, D-line, 7-on-7.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Yeah.
And you'd get torn quads, knees, everything all over the place.
I don't know. Some of them dudes are...
They're shifty.
Yeah.
Coaching hires to go over. What Super Bowl matchup we want? I think we can all agree on the Super Bowl matchup we want the least. And then we got who do you love in the second hour. And see if one of these guys can make up some ground, because I'm about to claim a championship in who do you love this year. I am 1 week away from sealing that baby up. But let's start with the conference championship. I want to do one conference championship in hour one, another in hour and two, and I feel like we start with the bigger of the two, the AFC championship game, Chiefs-Bills. Sound good?
Sure.
Let's get after it. Chiefs-Bills, AFC Championship game. Get to it next here. Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
We're just 2 weekends away from the Super Bowl. We got to find out who's going to be in that Super Bowl, and we'll do that today.
I think we can guess on half of who's going to be in the Super Bowl for now. At least one quarter of that, I think we pretty much can agree on. I'll start there. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Oh, as far as the
four teams that are left, I think there's one that I think we can all agree will probably be there.
Well, I think you and I are probably on the same page on who that is, and I think that's going to come up in hour number two, I believe, because right now we're talking about the AFC. Or maybe you think it's one of these teams that is an automatic lock to the Super Bowl.
I don't know what teams you're talking about, but yeah, I mean, yeah, kind of.
Well, that's the Chiefs and the Bills, and I'm here to say that it finally happens today. The Bills.
You think so? Maybe we don't agree.
Yes. I am putting it out there into the world. It's got to end at some point. This madness, this luck, this voodoo that the Chiefs have in playoff football, it has to stop at some point. It stopped a few times when there was a guy named Brady playing football. It stopped once when there was a guy named Joe Burrow playing in the playoffs. This is the time that the Bills and Josh Allen finally break through. Now, the thing is, with today, something's got to give, because the Chiefs, I was reading a couple notes about the game today and what some of the teams have going for them. The Chiefs have not turned the ball over in 8 weeks.
I saw that stat.
8 weeks they have not turned the ball
over. Not just an interception, but a fumble or any like
that? Nothing. Someone muffing a punt, kicking a ball on the kickoff, and it goes right back to the defense. I mean, there's not been one turnover from this Chiefs defense. So for the Bills, you need to figure out some way to win the turnover battle and force the Chiefs to make some mistakes. Because we've seen where the Chiefs do make maybe a mistake here or there, but other teams don't take advantage of it. They wait for you to mess up, and then they strike. And so the Bills, I don't think they have to play a perfect game today. They have to play a very clean game. They have to win the turnover battle. I mean, that's what we saw last week in the divisional round. Every team that lost the turnover battle.
Yeah.
And I think that the Bills, now the thing that's going against the Bills is they have lost their last seven road playoff games. So they need to break a streak, not against just the Chiefs, but against themselves, where they have not won a game away from Buffalo in the playoffs in their last seven tries. And I say today is the day that it finally happens. I'm believing in Josh Allen. I'm believing in this running attack. I believe that they're going to be able to keep the Chiefs off the field, the offense off the field, and they're just going to be able to pound their way to a victory.
So first off, I want to apologize to everybody as a Patriots fan. I didn't know this is what it felt like to watch another team just completely go through the season. And I'll be honest, get a little help from some referees from game to game. But even the Patriots weren't in the AFC Championship 7 years in a row. Right? As great as they were and as great as Tom Brady was, as great as Belichick was, they were never in this position this many times in a row. There's something different about this Chiefs team. Like this, I mean, I know we like to start comparing eras, comparing teams, but this could potentially be the best team that we've ever seen in football. Like, they don't make mistakes. You kind of mentioned it. Like, they don't screw up. And turnovers are just one thing, but there's not a lot of missed assignments. For whatever reason, Travis Kelce, and I say this every week, he's always open, wide the F open. Like, I don't understand how it happens or who's not covering him, or maybe he's just running routes so beautifully to where he just finds himself in open space every single time. Their defense is, you know, I remember a couple of years ago when they were winning, it was like, yeah, their offense is good, but their defense needs to step it up. Well, that's not the case anymore. In most cases, their defense is winning them games. They're not making mistakes either. And I think you can't make mistakes against this team. You have to play a perfect game, top to bottom, offense, defense, special teams. Everything has to be on point. You cannot get penalties because they're not going to get penalties like that. And you know they're going to get a few extra looks from the referees every single game. So you have no choice but to go out there and play this game perfectly. Everybody keeps putting this Josh Allen against Patrick Mahomes. That's what everybody wants to be. Like last week, it was Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson. Everybody wants to be that. This is not Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. This is Josh Allen against Andy Reid. He has to figure out how to beat this team. He has to figure out how to play perfect football through the air, on the ground, and come out with the W. Because how many more times can they be in this position? Again, road game against this team. All the odds are against you at this point. You have to play absolutely lights out today if you want to beat this Chiefs team. I think it's such a tall task.
I think that this is the best version of Josh Allen to do it, though. Now, full disclosure, I think the Chiefs are going to win. I am going to pick the Chiefs until I'm proven wrong in the playoffs. It's very similar to Tom Brady with the Patriots. Yeah, you bet the Patriots, and then if you lose, you go, man, well, I lost betting the GOAT, right? I lost betting the best quarterback in the NFL right now. You make money betting with them. You don't make money betting against them. But if there is a version of a Buffalo Bills team that can do it, it would be this team. They made the transition where they got rid of a lot of their older defensive players. They brought in a lot of younger, cheaper players. And then offensively, the big change that you saw is they got rid of all their deep threats. They got rid of Gabe Davis. They got rid of Stephon Diggs. And they've transitioned into more of this power run game. They've got Kincaid and they've got Knox, two great tight ends. You have this offensive line where it seems like every single one of them averages like 6'6", 315, 320. They're massive human beings. And then you've got a power running back.
You got a great running back room in general.
Absolutely. I mean, you got top to bottom.
You got the rookie kid,
Ray Davis. You got Ty Johnson. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you got James Cook. And then you got Josh Allen, too, who obviously has a running threat.
Who's a great running threat. And so this team transitioned from, hey, we're going to live and die by big explosive plays to we're going to methodically drive the ball down the field. And it's actually help them. They're much better than what they were. And this is the best season that Josh Allen has ever had. And he's not having the crazy, wow, like he just threw a ball 80 yards in the air and it was in a perfect spot and double coverage and Stephon Diggs caught it and ran in. It's Josh Allen making the smart decision. I mean, think about this. When he was bottled up on that third down, it's third and goal against the Ravens. He's bottled up and you can see it in his eyes. He looks and he sees that Cook is open and he could just pitch it back and 2 years ago, 3 years ago, young Josh Allen does that. Does it work? Maybe. Or does it end up like Reggie Bush in the Rose Bowl? Or does it end up like so many times that we've seen Josh Allen try and make the superhuman play when just the good play is the correct one? And he made the good play there. They kick the field goal and they go on to win this football game because of a smart decision that Josh Allen made. He is not making the big mistake anymore. So if there was ever going to be a Bills team that beat this Chiefs team, right to your point, Rashad, is if Josh Allen doesn't make mistakes, and when you need that one big play, he can make it, which he's shown he can make that play. He's awesome in the playoffs.
Yeah.
This would be the version of the Bills that could do it.
One big key to this game that I'm curious to see how it plays out for the Bills is they are going to be without safety Taylor Rapp. I saw an interesting analytics stats, you know, beyond the numbers that when they don't have him on the field, this is the Bills defense ranks without Taylor Rapp on the field, 350 plus plays. They are 30th in dropback EPA per play, 32nd in explosive run rate allowed. So Taylor Rapp does a lot of things for this defense. Now, you know, stats, you can find one that always, you know, fits a narrative, goes against a narrative, you know, supports something. But again, not having Taylor Rapp, that is a key part of that Bills defense where, I mean, this is where we could see those spots get open for Kelce. We could see where the run game gets a little bit going for the Chiefs. I just feel in my gut, in my bones, that this is finally the moment that the Bills are able to surpass the Chiefs.
Well, I think a lot of us are hoping that that's the case. You know, fatigue is kind of set in for a lot of people with, and this happens with every great championship team. At first, it's awesome when they're doing it. And then they start really winning more. And it's like, bro, we're so tired of the Warriors. We're so tired of the Lakers in the 2000s. Like, it's just you get tired of watching that team be successful so much. So now it'd be great to watch the Josh Allens and Lamar Jacksons of the world finally go ahead and get their just due. And even if it's just one, like, I think that will be like sufficient for them. But yeah, I think we're all just ready to see it. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen today.
Rashad,
I'm sorry, man. We've seen too much. We've seen too much.
They keep doing it, man. Like, they find a way.
You know, like, it'd be different if it was like a fluke, but man, this kid, like, just keeps getting better. This Patrick Mahomes, he just keeps getting better and better. And during these moments, he's just built for him. He's Jordan.
Right.
Undefeated in certain areas. Like, they're just nothing you can do.
Buffalo was up by 3 with 13 seconds left, and he had to go basically the full length of the field, and he did.
And he did.
And he did.
And that's the cool part. Like, this is just what he does. And remember when Andy Reid was the guy that couldn't win it? Just couldn't get it done. Went to the NFC Championship 3 years in a row with Philly. Just couldn't figure it out. We're not saying that about him anymore. Now we're pissed about it.
Let's take a break. Want to talk about some of the coaching hires. Not one in particular. We'll get to that at the end of the hour number one. And I think you know what coaching hire I'm thinking of here.
The Bears.
Pete Carroll.
Oh, yes. Yes. Those are the two that are at the top of my mind right now.
Oh.
Also want to bring attention to the YouTube chat. There was one angry little fella on here.
Uh-oh.
My God.
What'd you say?
I didn't say anything.
I said sup.
Will acknowledged him, and he says, can you guys interact with the chat? I mean, what are we doing here? Y'all channel will never grow. Useless. On God.
I would like to point out that you are the one watching the show
My
on a Sunday.
My God. Just upset. And
but
then,
we got you. That's a valid point.
Hey,
we
I will
you.
Say, Cy's got our back, though. He says, he pulls out numbers, facts on him. He says, actually, it's almost tripled since they got back on YouTube.
That's three.
They went from 1.2 subscribers, 1,000 subscribers to now 5,000 subscribers. So suck on that, rebuke 2K.
Actually, don't suck it. You're probably cool. You're just mad. You just want your stuff read. We'll read it. We got you.
Keep watching, though. Yeah, we keep watching and listening, however. Let's take a break, look at some of the coaching hires around the NFL because they're starting to fill up. We only have one more job available out there, but there have been jobs filled through this week. We get to that next year. Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan. But first, Will with a SportsCenter update.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
I didn't know this was in the rotator.
This is an awesome song. I love this record.
This is what the NFL head coaches, the new head coaches, were saying to their respective teams. Or I guess the... Wait. I guess the teams were saying it to the head coaches.
Oh, yeah. I got your money.
Yeah, absolutely. I got your money. So, like, the Bears were saying that to Ben Johnson. The Jags were saying that to Liam Cohen. Your Patriots were saying that to Mike Vrabel. That was the first domino to fall in all of
this. That was the first one.
Since then, we have had five hires, and there is still one job remaining out there. The most coveted name in the head coaching circles that domino fell as well was Ben Johnson going to the Chicago Bears, going to interdivisional rival. I know it's a business, but it's always not only is it dirty when a coach leaves like 2 days after they lose in the playoffs, but then you go to a divisional rival. Cold world.
I mean, hey.
You got to do what you got to do.
You got to. And you know, when you're looking around at jobs and what's available, the first thing you're looking at is all the cool toys you'll get to play with once you get there. Pause. And so Ben Johnson looked at Chicago Bears. Ooh, Caleb Williams, eh? I think I can work with that, especially as an offensive-minded guy.
DJ Moore, Roma Dunsey.
Like this could be
Keenan
this
Allen.
Could be fun.
Oh, he just twisted an ankle. He's
he's always going to twist his ankle. But yeah, I'm like, oh, you know what? This could be fun. Yeah, I mean, and I'm in the division. I know the division already. I've been preparing and really being successful against this division for the last 3 years. Like, yeah, I think I'm comfortable here. I think it's a great hire for Chicago. Definitely the best one.
Of all the teams that needed a head coach, this is the best hire. Again, Ben Johnson is – and let's preface everything, all these hires, by also us saying that we don't know what the hell is going to happen. Mm-hmm. We don't know if any of these guys are going to work out, who is, who isn't. But as far as the best name that was available, that was out there, that was being talked to – ended up going somewhere. I mean, Ben Johnson, he was number one on a lot of teams' lists, and he goes to the Bears. What I did find interesting was in his press conference, I believe he said that he's going to miss beating Matt LaFleur twice a year or something like that. He said, I really enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. And then I was like, wait, so does that mean you're not going to be doing that anymore? Are you insinuating you will no longer... Are you insinuating also that the Bears will continue to lose to Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers? They did beat them in week 18, I will say that. So the Bears are now on a win streak against the Packers.
They're the only team in the NFC North with a winning record in 2025.
Oh, the Bears?
Yep.
Yeah.
They're 1-0. Everyone true. Else has a loss.
Lions, yeah, they lost. Did the Lions lose week 18 also?
No, they beat the Vikings and then they lost. The Vikings have two losses.
That's right.
And the Packers lost
two. They lost twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they, or did the Packers, yeah, because they lost to the Bears week 18 and then they lost to the Eagles in the playoffs. So how about that? It's a new regime. It's a new era in Chicago.
It is. It is, man. And also, in New York, you know, Aaron Glenn is... you know, taking over. And it has to be dope at points, unless you're unless you're Pierce from the Raiders, to go back and coach for the team that you spent so much of your career with. So Aaron Glenn going to the Jets, a much needed upgrade for the Jets. I do wish they would go ahead and try to talk to an offensive minded person and see about trying to change that offense. Like, all the Jets' woes come on the offensive end, all of them, all the time. Like, why wouldn't you go out and get a guy who made that the focus of what the team should be? I think Aaron Glenn is a fine hire. I think
what's Adam Gase doing?
I'm gonna say, that's your last offensive.
What's Byron Leftwich doing?
Higher.
Like, why is Byron Leftwich not even in the league? Like, remember at a point, like, he was a coveted name. It was, people were saying, like, hey, he's not even in the league right now.
Like, yeah, so, what was his last stop?
Tampa.
The OC?
Tampa. And I think he won a Super Bowl there. And so I'm trying to figure out, like, what happened to Byron Leftwich and why nobody wants to hire him. But, you know, I digress.
Aaron Glenn. Very intrigued to see how that goes, because he wanted to go to New York. He wanted that Jets job.
When it's your home, when you've played, you know, like, again, majority of your career there, I kind of want to go make something happen there.
And I will say, what he was able to do with this Detroit Lions team, not just the last couple of years, just this season in general, with all the injuries, I know that, you know, it could have been coach getting interviewed in the playoffs, so you give up a bad performance and give up 45, well, I guess it was actually 38, because one of the touchdowns was a pick six. But you give up a bunch of points in the playoff game, so, I mean, not a good look there. But, hell, we saw that last year with Dan Quinn, right? Like, the Cowboys get absolutely shellacked, give up nearly 100 points against the Packers in the playoff game, and now look at Dan Quinn. He's in a NFC Championship game the very next year.
Things change real quick. So
the one coach that got hired, I believe it was either on Thursday or Friday, and this was one that I had on the list of coaches that I wanted the Cowboys to hire, and that was Liam Cohen of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He will now be the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach. This coming after him initially rejecting the job because I think he wanted to work with a different general manager, and then the Jaguars were finally like, all right, listen, we need to fire Trent Baalke, because if we don't, then we're never going to be able to
hire a coach.
Yeah, get the guy that we want. So sure enough, the Jags, I think, got rid of Trent Baalke on Wednesday or Thursday, and then the very next day, Liam Cohen gets hired by the Jaguars. And I love the hire, because I think that Tampa Bay's offense the last couple of years, I mean, it's been awesome. Now, Liam Cohen was not the OC 2 years ago. That was David Canales, who is now the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. I don't know what Liam Cohen's role was before this season, but again, to take over this Tampa Bay offense this season and have them not skip a beat and have Baker Mayfield perform and have another great year like he did. And I'm just taking a look. He was OC this year. He was actually the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach at Kentucky in 2023. He was the offensive coordinator for the Rams in 2022. I believe that is the year after the Super Bowl run. Yes, that was the year after the Rams went to the Super Bowl. But he's had some stints in Kentucky, Los Angeles Rams. It seems like he has literally gone from the Rams to Kentucky multiple times.
Yeah, he was great this year. You know, that offense was great. Here's some numbers that, you know, Liam Cohen had as far as the Tampa Bay offense. 6.2 yards per play, fourth in the league. 29.7 points a game, fourth in the league. 50% on third down rate, conversion rate, second in the league. You know, like 147.3 yards at rushing yards a game, fourth in the league. So he knew how to get that offense up and moving and was really, really productive this year.
Yeah. I love the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense, Baker, what they were able to do. I thought we were way over. I thought we skipped the Sports Center break there. I was like, oh my God, what is going on? And what was the other one that we had? Oh, Pete. We had Pete finding a job.
So we're just not going to talk about the Cowboys?
Oh, we're saving that for the next segment.
Oh, okay. Yeah. About to say, I don't want you to gloss over that like it didn't happen.
It's you love or who do you love segment.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's the who do you hate segment. But Pete Carroll, he's going back to the NFL. I love him going to the Raiders. The Raiders, to me, over the last few years, have just been playing around with, we'll see. You know, they went back to Gruden, which we know how that ended. We're curious to see how it would have ended if the emails didn't get leaked. But
I forgot about those emails.
Yeah.
So did he.
And so did Barstool. Josh McDaniels, we saw how that went. And then they go with Antonio Pierce, and we saw how that went. You go to a guy who's a proven winner at both levels, who has relationships in college and NFL, who can get a culture in Las Vegas that they haven't had, and again, just has a proven track record. Yes, he's old. Whatever. Don't care about that. I think that Pete is a perfect guy for this particular job. I don't think that the Raiders front office is exactly the problem. I think Mark Davis actually does a pretty good job at letting the football people do
the stays football. Out of the way. Yeah. He stays out of the way.
But as far as head coach and a guy that can lead a locker room, Pete Carroll is one of the best at being able to do it. And he's shown it at all levels. Love this hire for the Raiders.
I love it. I mean, I know a lot of people, the first thing they want to bang on is Pete Carroll's age. And honestly, at the end with Seattle, things just didn't work out well. But hell, you know, that's what happens with head coaches and players. Sometimes things just don't work out well, you know, to kind of end that run. But again, like you just said, Joe, winner in college, winner in the NFL, not just a Super Bowl. He's been to the Super Bowl twice, you know, back to back, you know, as an NFL head coach, which is incredibly hard to do. So I think if he can come in and really make this team mature, I think that's what he can do. He can add some maturity to this team. Antonio Pierce was a great player. Sometimes great players don't equate to great coaches.
Should have never been hired.
No, it's just one of those things. And it's not to say that he's bad, you know, but it's just, hey, he shouldn't have been hired right now. He needed a lot more work to be able to get to this point of head coach. Pete Carroll's experience, I think it's a great hire.
I don't know that I totally love it because of his age, but I will say this. If you need someone to come in and build a positive culture, like, Pete's the best guy to hire yes. for that. And what Pete's going to be able to do with the brand of defense that he likes to play and the brand of offense that he likes to play, you're going to be in more games. These games where the Raiders are getting blown out by 14, 21 points, you know, halfway through the second quarter, they're not really going to happen with Pete. That's not how he coaches games, to be honest with you. Now, you're not going to blow anyone out. Like, I remember a lot of times as a Seahawk fan watching Pete Carroll coach games, there was never a moment where you're like, wow, the Seahawks are out of it. But it's also never a moment of, wow, the Seahawks are just completely dominating this team, even in the Legion of Boom era. Like, they're going to be within a score or 10 points in the fourth quarter. And there's something that can be exciting about that. And don't forget, those great Patriot teams that Bill had, Pete built that defense. That's Pete's defense. Yeah. So a lot of those big players early on.
It's very true. That 90s, that Super Bowl mm-hmm. back in 90s, that's Pete Carroll. Yep. You know? So, yeah.
Pete is successful. He will build a positive culture. You just got to hope that whoever takes over for him, because someone will take over for him, he's going to be 70-freaking-4. Takes over and can continue what he's been doing.
Well, I will also say this. As far as the leader of the country goes, I believe that we have back-to-back oldest people ever to do the job. So, you know, if we're selecting really old people to run the country.
Old's hip now, dude.
Yeah, being old is cool. He's got a 5-year plan. Don't die. That's Pete's plan.
plan? Don't die.
I think that's I think that's most people's plan in their 70s.
But there's one job remaining that has not gotten head coach. That's the Saints. And there is one job that has been filled, and it is my Dallas Cowboys. And we'll get to that next here, Football Sunday, on 1080 The Fan.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
We had one more coaching hire to get to, and it is with my beloved Dallas Cowboys. And this was announced on Friday night news dump, that Brian Schottenheimer is now the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Mazel tov?
I'm wondering if we could do some sort of seance, some sort of resurrection, and see if Marty can come back from the dead. to possibly coach this team instead?
Don't think so. Be kind of creepy, but...
Hey, let's do a whole weekend at Bernie's thing. Dig him up and throw a headset on Marty and then tie some strings to him, kind of do a puppet thing and see if Marty can coach. What's funny, though, is that Brian very much will be a puppet for Jerry Jones and this team as well. This is... And I've been pretty much dead inside ever since that wild card game last year against the Green Bay Packers with the Cowboys. So trying to evoke emotion out of me is, I mean, it's tough to do with the Cowboys now. This one, though, is like, you know what? Of course they effing did this. Of course. Of course the Cowboys hired a guy that nobody else was looking at. When is the last time Brian Schottenheimer ever was talked about as being a head coach? I can't remember because nobody ever wanted him as a head coach. A lot of teams didn't even want him as their offensive coordinator. He comes in as you pointing thumbs to you that you wanted him as an OC?
I did not want him as an OC.
Oh, okay.
Let's
say, yes.
He was great through week 8, and then once every team figured out what he'd written up in the summer, was like, oh, I don't have a curveball. I just have this fastball.
This is a guy that no team was looking at. No team was even smelling the idea of Schottenheimer coming to their team. And, of course, in typical Cowboys fashion, they want to take their guy and try and build him up to be a winner, to be one of the best, so that way they could say, we found him, he became great because he was a Cowboy, and we were able to prop him up and to turn him into something that nobody else did. We gave him a chance. We were the ones that did it. And also, you just got rid of Mike McCarthy. Don't you think you would want to start fresh with a new regime? Nobody from that regime. You're literally going to the offensive coordinator, a guy that was a part of this last regime. I can't. This team is not serious. Jerry is not serious. His kids aren't serious. If you really care about winning, you do not give Brian Schottenheimer this job. But they don't care about winning. They care about cashing a check. They care about getting as much money out of this team as possible, and they know that regardless of who is in that head coaching position, that they're going to be able to do that. They don't care about winning at this point. This hire, to me, shows that.
Bro, the Dallas Cowboys are valued at $10.1 billion.
Most valuable franchise in American sports.
Jerry Jones is not letting go of any type of control of that $10.1 billion. At all. Hiring shy, and the one way the rich people make money or stay rich is by not giving their money away. Because Schottenheimer is probably going to be the one of the lowest, if not the lowest paid coach in the National Football League. And I think Jerry Jones knows that. I apologize, Joe. Like, I'm sorry. Like, for any Cowboy fans, and really, we like to bang on you guys, Cowboys and 49er fans, because you guys are always on TV and you're all, I get it. Yo. I think this franchise deserves much better than what Jerry Jones has given them. Schottenheimer didn't have a single interview with any other franchise in years. Not even recently.
Like, if someone has an article, something somewhere where a team 10 years ago, 5, whatever, was interviewing, maybe interested in Brian Schottenheimer's services, let me know, because I have yet to ever hear that being the case.
I mean, I don't know. There wasn't anybody else that had him on the list. And again, when I think about a Byron Leftwich still sitting at home wondering why his phone hasn't rang and why he's not an offensive coordinator, or at least an offensive coordinator somewhere, and you're seeing Marty Schottenheimer, or Brian Schottenheimer. I wish it was Marty. R.I.P. Where we're seeing him get this huge look for this huge franchise. And who knows? Maybe he'll be good, right? Maybe he needed this opportunity to show exactly what was in his bag and what he can do.
I said last segment, we don't know how any of these guys are going to work out.
Maybe he'll be good.
There's a part of it being unfair to the idea that Brian Schottenheimer is not going to work out. But again, there is a reason why nobody else was talking to him. No one. Like, there were other coaches out there getting multiple interviews, multiple head coaching positions were interested. He wasn't one of them.
Your boy Leftwich got more interviews than he did.
Probably.
He interviewed with the Patriots. I I think that this shows that Jerry had no backup plan and that he expected McCarthy to take the lesser deal.
Yeah.
He was going to look at McCarthy and say, yeah, you did great in the regular season, but you got bounced immediately in both of your playoff games that you got to play in. And then this year, as soon as Dak is gone, you struggled. I think that you should take less money. And Mike was like, pound sand, man. I took Cooper Rush, and I made him more than a serviceable quarterback. I'd had back-to-back 12-win seasons. I won the division within the last 3 years. The other year, I was a wild card team. Like, you need to pay me. I'm a Super Bowl-winning coach. And Jerry was like, man, I don't think I will.
I think that league circles, coaches, front offices, people are talking to each other, and it's louder than it's ever been. It's always been... You know, and they're like, yeah, well, you got to go work with Jerry, you know. I think it's now you don't want to go work with Jerry. You do not want to
stay away
job.
From Dallas,
dude,
at all costs.
For your sake, for your career's sake, everything, you don't want. This is a guy that Jerry will be able to keep under his thumb. Jerry's still going to be able to do his interviews, his post-game press conferences, his post-game media huddle-ups. He's going to be able to do his same thing. This is a guy, and this is what the Cowboys have done with their last four coaching hires since Wade Phillips, Jason Garrett, Mike McCarthy. I mean, just everyone with that. This is a guy that needs me more than I need him, plain and simple.
Yeah.
And that's what they want. Is someone that they'll be able to control, they'll be able to have the upper hand on. Brian Schottenheimer being like, oh, thank you, Mr. Jones. Thank you, Cowboys organization, for giving me this opportunity.
Hat in hand.
Oh, my God. I'll do anything you want me to. I'll do anything I can to keep this job. And they're like, perfect. That is exactly what we want. This is not, and I agree with Troy Aikman. He said a couple weeks ago, like,
It's not a desirable job anymore.
No,
not a
it's
desirable
not.
Job.
And Michael Irvin, bless his heart, because he was then saying like, well, hey, this is an NFL head coaching job. There's only 32 of these in the world. Of course, this is a coveted job, right? Like, who wouldn't want to be an NFL head coach? At this point, I wish we would have taken Deion. I'd rather take a chance on Deion.
I think Prime would have been
Brian
better.
Schottenheimer.
I think Prime would have been way better than Shoddy.
And this is where I pray to the gods, pray to the heavens that I am as wrong and we are all wrong as we've ever been about the Dallas Cowboys. Well, and that somehow Brian Schottenheimer turns into the next Mike Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, just something, someone, please, for the love of God, answer our prayers. Well, maybe just my prayers.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yours. The Cowboys can suck forever. We're good.
I was going to say,
I'm
yeah.
not praying.
Yeah.
We're good.
I don't think anybody else, everybody was happy about this hire. Like, yes, keep going. Oh, God. Well, we've got an offseason, a draft to see what the Cowboys do. See what all these teams and head coaches do to build up their next regime and their next team. But we've got another conference championship game to preview. We've got the NFC conference championship game. We got to take a look at what the four potential Super Bowl matchups are, what we want the most, what we want the least, what we think is going to happen. We got Who Do You Love coming up next. Hour number two, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Dude, 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 dude. Well, I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skidmark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
You think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Football Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan. It is conference championship weekend. We went over the Chiefs and Bills in hour number one, as well as the coaching hires that have happened this week. You can catch that anywhere you get your podcast being uploaded right now. As we speak, we have our crack team of podcast editing team, 20 people deep, I hear.
Yeah.
I don't see them that often. But
they're in the other room.
Oh, yeah, they're just getting
after it. Is that a fat joke to me? 20 people deep?
No, you a fat joke? You will? You already told us you saw that old picture of you at CWU.
I can't wait to post it. Yes. It's so bad.
I want to see it. Also, kudos to you for doing that at a volleyball game, because in high school, I used to love going to the volleyball games and just getting it up.
And, yeah, is that why you...
Well,
that's why you went to volleyball games, eh?
The volume, like the cheering,
right?
Like, yeah, like that.
So you just get it up at the volleyball games, eh?
The ball.
There was other reasons.
Wow.
You know, volleyball's fun, man. It's a high energy. You know,
it is. It is. There's a lot, especially like some of those. A
lot of ass smacking.
Man, it is. I mean, that's not really where I was going, but yeah, tons of high fives.
Even when they mess up, it's very interesting. I've never high-fived a football teammate when they've messed up.
They come together and rally together after a screw-up. Yeah! It's like, man, like, wait a minute. Something like, did they
They're the only other sport that also huddles.
Damn you, Bernice!
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
College basketball huddles a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's true. But, like, they huddle before every play. Like, college basketball, like, you huddle and you talk with the coaches.
Yeah, often.
No, they huddle, like, for a free throw or so, for a foul, you see all the team come together.
I guess
They rap to each other for something and they kind of break out.
Yeah, it's rare. Like, you'll see an NBA between one or two guys, but it's very rare that you see someone bring the whole
team and talk about
and
what's
like,
happening.
Hey, come on.
I wonder why that is, too. Because, like I said, on the college level, again, something happened, dead ball, the team comes together and talks about where they're supposed to be and what to do and what we're doing next. I wonder why that's not more common in the NBA.
Oh, I was like, I can ask the volleyball people. I've got inside sources. I'll ask.
I'm plugged in. Rashad, this is going to be a thing we're going forward with, because he's asked me now two pretty good hypothetical questions over the last few weeks. One a few weeks ago was, how did you word it? Would you want your team or be okay with your team winning three straight Super Bowls if it meant no sex for three straight years? And I was like, bro, three straight Super Bowls? Like, especially my team? And I think that also, it's a team-by-team basis.
Yeah, of course.
Like, my Cowboys winning three straight Super Bowls? Like, sorry. I think I'm going to have to go on a dry spell here for a bit in the bedroom if it means I can get three straight Super Bowl victories. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm doing that. even though, you know, my Pats have, you got six of them. However, sex is an important part of life. So, no. It's one of those things. I don't know. And also, and I've
said
this before.
Quickly.
I've said this before. Man, I've never got anything cool from any of the teams I support, ever. Like, not a thank you text for buying the tickets, or, you know, hey man, we see you paid all this money to get Root Sports to watch us, man, just want to send you a $10 voucher. Like, never got any of that stuff. The most we get is a Jamba Juice now when we get 100 points, and it's like a small one. So it's not even like, just bring back the McMuffin or the Chalupa and we'll be good. But yeah, so no, I don't think I love my team that much to risk the hibbity dibbity for 3 years. That sounds crazy.
I don't know, man. Three straight, one, never been done yet. That could change in the next few weeks. But again, I think that might be a team by team thing. Like,
it really is. Like the Jags, the
Browns,
Seahawks, the Browns, like
the
these
Lions.
Teams that have never really won, especially like the Lions, teams that are desperate for a championship, they would absolutely do this.
But the one that you asked me that I am posting now on X on the 1080 The Fan Twitter page, would you take one Super Bowl victory for your favorite team if it meant no playoff appearances for the next 25 years? You said 20, and I upped it by 5 years. I was like, I feel like, you know, I could... 20, that's going from, you know, like right now I'm 33, so that's me in 7th, 8th grade to now, no playoffs, and then my team finally makes it. I mean, some people I know have done that, right? They have gone that amount of time with no playoff victory. I mean, hell, my Cowboys, we've gone 30 years now without a NFC conference championship. I'm living through that right now.
Yeah.
So I say 25 years. I mean, that is that's a good chunk of time.
That's a lot, man. That's a lot of time. Like, we're struggling here as Blazer fans watching year three of them just really be bad. Like, this isn't fun. Like, this is cold. This is cold. So to watch 20 plus years of that, I think would be unbearable. Although, we still talk about the championship from 77 and to know what it's like to actually have a parade go through down Broadway Street or, you know, something like that. Like, hey, it'd be hard to say no to that, though.
Since we're up against it, let's get back on the clock, and we will jump into the NFC Conference Championship round. But again, you can go and vote on that Sports Sunday poll question on the 1080 The Fan Twitter/X account. Would you take one Super Bowl victory for your favorite team if it meant no playoff appearances for the next 25 years? We get to the NFC Conference Championship game next. Commanders versus Eagles on Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
I wish I could just say what Rashad said during the commercial break, but
I'm telling you, the stuff, FCC, stuff in between the commercials, that's where the gold is.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Well, it does remind me, though. Me and my buddy Tanner, we do a podcast together, Fish and Toast. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Tanner's a great dude. Love that guy. I've known him for years. But as we're getting things ready to record, you familiar with that Body Blue?
I'm not.
The girl who set the record for...
Oh, yes. For all the most...
most transgressions with men in a 24-hour period.
Like 100. I've never heard of this. Oh, it was like 1,000?
It was 1,000.
Yeah, 1,000. Something like that. Yeah.
Before noon.
Yeah, and it was... we had to do the math. It was like 1,000 in a day. Like, how many... How long do you get with her? Like... And it was like 1.4 minutes. And it's like, wow, that's, well, for me, that's...
It's perfect, right?
Yeah, I'm good. You know, I don't know if I need more than that, quite
that's
honestly.
That's 0.4 minutes than I need.
Yeah. But that was our conversation before we started talking about sports. I was like, man, we could go a whole hour on this whole Bonnie Blue putting up 1,000. And that's Wilt Chamberlain numbers
right
there.
Yeah, we really could. Like, that's crazy.
But we got to stick to football. We got to stick to NFL stuff. Will, you just let us know right before we came back, though, that the Eagles are going to be without Cam Jurgens, their center?
Their starting center.
Thank you. Yep. I knew he was on the offensive line. That's tough. I didn't know if he was the center or the left guard because they got Mekhi Becton over there on the right guard just shoving dudes all over the place that we saw in that that Rams game. But very interesting because the Commanders, they also have a big injury, a player that will not be playing on the defensive line. Daron Payne is not playing for the Commanders. So that is a battle, the interior offensive line that I will be keeping my eyes on in this game today because, you lose Daron Payne, it's like, okay, well, advantage Eagles. And now the Eagles lose their interior offensive lineman, their center, Cam Jurgens. Now that kind of makes it a bit of an even playing field, at least from that position. This one, I am just praying, hoping somehow that the Commanders pull the upset yet again. If I were to rank the teams that I hate the most in all of sports, Eagles are at the top.
Mm.
I cannot stand that team, that fan base, the coverage they get. For God's sakes, their head of security gets more coverage than some people in sports. Big Dom or whatever his name is.
Well, Big Dom's a big deal, okay?
Yeah.
That's what, Big Dom's a big deal.
I think so,
clearly.
Too.
Yeah. And
he
that's
runs what, that show.
That's what drives me nuts, is people that actually know who that guy is. But you're looking at two NFC East teams, so it really should be like, hey, Joe, you shouldn't want either of these teams to win. No. Eagles, I can't have them win in this. I can't have them in another Super Bowl. I can't have them sniffing another Super Bowl. We're going Commanders, left hand up. Who are we? Go Commanders all day long.
Well, then, do you want to be the only team in the division without a Super Bowl ring over the last 20 years?
Honestly, I would rather...
Do you want to be the only one? If the Commanders go ahead, or appearance, like you just said, like, mm-hmm. You want to be the only one?
I'd rather take that than the Eagles having a chance at another.
As long as it's just the Eagles getting there, like, you're telling me there's a chance. Like, you can still be one of those ones that get there or at least get to win a Super Bowl.
I hear what you're saying. It literally means that the Cowboys, not only are they the NFC team with the longest drought of conference championship appearances, but now you are the last of the NFC East teams without a Super Bowl.
Just saying, man. You know, that's a bad spot to be in. And Shoddy's your coach now. Like, it's a bad spot to be in. So I would be pulling like hell for Philadelphia right now.
Well, that's why I'm also pulling like hell for either the Bills or the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Fair enough.
If I'm ranking the four teams.
I want them to get there.
Who? The
commander. Any team that gets there, that means you get 2 weeks of pure celebration. Two weeks. Like, you get the, man, we were this and we did this, and you're going to hear all the stuff about how great that team or Jaden Daniels is. You're going to hear all about that for the next 2 weeks. Yeah, that's really going to piss you off.
Yeah, it will. But again, it's going to piss me off even more if the Eagles are there. Because the Eagles, to me, are just a team that they should be better than they are. And the fact that they're kind of like the Chiefs, like, they kind of just keep skating by. They play down to their opponents. The way that they play something, like that game against the Rams last week, it was over. Saquon goes on that big 70-something yard touchdown run. It's 28-13, I think, at that point. 28-15, actually, it was the score. 4.5 minutes left, 5 minutes left. That game is over. And then before you know it, the Rams are driving and are in position to take the lead, to tie the game and take the lead with an extra point. That shouldn't have happened. They've had multiple times this year where they play inferior opponents and they are skating by with a one-possession victory. And then they have games where they look like they're the best team in the NFL. So this Eagles team is a very frustrating, very hard-to-understand team that I feel like when they play their A-plus game, they are the best team in the NFL. The thing is, you're only going to get that performance from them maybe once every 5 to 6 weeks, seemingly. And they play. You could play down to teams against, like, the Packers, who are injury-riddled. You play down to the Rams. But then again, you have maybe a weather advantage. You have the home field advantage there. This type of game that you play, more run-heavy versus the Rams, where they do depend on Stafford and that offense down the field, getting the ball in the hands of players like Nacua, Cooper Kupp, when he wants to start playing well again. The Commanders, you're going to have to keep up with them. And you cannot play a B-minus game against the Chiefs or the Bills. If you do that in the Super Bowl, you are not winning it. So that's what, again, this Eagles team, they just are one of the most confusing. Always seems like somebody's mad, whether it's Sirianni yelling at the fans, whether it's Brandon Graham talking about Hurts and A.J. Brown's relationship. I mean, it is just one of the most weird, successful teams in the NFL. But they keep winning.
I don't know. I think the Eagles are doing exactly what they're supposed to do. And I think Jalen Hurts is doing exactly what he's supposed to do. He is not Lamar Jackson. He might be able to run. He might be able to throw the ball. But he is not Lamar Jackson. Or he is not Josh Allen. Like, that's not, you know, his game. He is a game manager. He is the definition of what a game manager is. I'm not going to do too much. I'm going to do exactly enough to make sure I get my team to the finish line.
Well, that's another player that drives me nuts is Jalen Hurts. That guy, I mean, he's going to throw for 125 passing yards today, and they'll still somehow win.
But that's not what they want him to do.
No, it's not what they want. Because guess what?
It drives me
nuts.
He's
also going to rush for 70 yards and a touchdown potentially. Like, it's the
depending on his knee.
Depending on his knee and how that works. And we've already seen I'm spacing on the defensive coordinator's name from Washington that was just openly saying, yeah, we're going to hit him like a running back.
Oh, Joe Witt Jr.?
Joe Witt Jr., thank you. Yeah. You know, when he comes out of that pocket, if he wants to start running, we're going to hit him like a running back. So they're preparing for him to scramble around and do all this stuff. Because what they've also done is challenged him.
Ear hole him.
What Joe Witt has done is also challenged him, saying, I dare you to stay in the pocket and throw the ball. Like, yeah. I want you to. You think you're going to run around and do stuff with that knee? I want you to try it and see what we do. So you better stay your ass in that pocket and throw the ball as much as possible. And so if he's smart, Jalen Hurts isn't goaded into, you know, making that mistake and becoming a pocket passer, and he can still play his game. The one thing that he has that other teams don't is Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, well,
I mean, whenever you got a guy that can get you 200 yards in the snow,
yep.
Like, come on, man! Like, that's a rarity that doesn't happen. You see how fast he was running that last drive when he scored? Hey, man! Like, that's hard to stop, and he's a little dude on top of that. So now you're trying to wrap him up in the backfield. He's finding small creases to make moves in. Like, I think running the ball, kind of like we talked about with Josh Allen and the Bills, is like, now you have this almost like two-headed monster and Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley that sometimes you just can't see where it's coming from. And so, I don't know. There's a lot to see there. This Washington team, I still don't know all the way, because this maybe it's nobody really paying attention to the film of Jaden Daniels because Kid can play.
Well, it's a funny matchup because if you went like position group by position group, the Eagles win in every position group but one. And that's the most important one, and yeah, it's quarterback right now. And no one is hotter in the league than Jaden Daniels right now and what he's doing because this Commanders team isn't good enough to be where they're at. Like, as good of a coach as Dan Quinn is, like, he's a defensive-minded guy. And as good of a coach as Cliff Kingsbury has been, he's shown moments, even as an OC, where he kind of takes a step back. But Jaden Daniels has proven to be a special type of player. What I think is going to be the difference here, though, on whether this game is won or lost is going to be between the defensive line of the Commanders and really the linebackers as well and the offensive line of the Eagles. The Eagles have had success because they have built one of the most, if not the most, bruising offensive lines in the last, what, 20 years?
Yeah.
Because all they do is lean on you. They run that zone read Absolutely. Game, and then they just let
Show
Saquon.
Show me who's stronger.
Right, and they let Saquon read the defense. Where's the open hole going to be? That's the beauty of the zone, right? You run zone because any hole is open. It just takes Saquon reading his O-linemen and where they're positioning their blocks, and then he just goes and escapes. Yeah, it might. You might want it to hit out the front side. It might be, you know, inside zone, so you're reading off your front side guard's back hip. But if he doesn't get the reach, well, now it's an outside zone play. Or if your guy's on the backside, they don't get that cut off, all of a sudden, it looks like a counter because you can go all the way back across the field. And so what this offensive line has done a good job of doing is just, I'm going to get to my landmarks and I'm going to get hands-on. And then after that, it's up to my running back to make me right, and he has. It's why you've seen every running back have success when they go into Philly, and then when they leave Philly, they don't have success. Yeah. Why do you think Gainswell never leaves? Because he knows. He knows, like, that's where his bread is buttered. That's where he's going to have his most success. And then when you get a special running back into a system like that with five special offensive linemen, that's a big deal, and that's why you saw Saquon take such a leap forward this year. Now, with Cam Jurgens out, I would assume you slide Landon Dickerson over to that center spot. He's done it before. He did it in college.
That's what they're doing, yeah. I saw a report that that's what they're going to be doing for this game.
How big of a change does that make for the offensive line?
I think it's huge.
You could, I mean, if you're a Duck fan or you're a Northwest sports fan in general, look at the first two Duck games when they had a backup center in and not the starting center. Look at how the offensive line wasn't moving together. Now, Landon Dickerson, he's been the backup center there for the last 3-4 years, however long he's been there. He's been the backup. So he knows what he needs to do. He knows his calls. It's still different between knowing them and doing them, especially in an NFC championship game, especially when the guy on the other side who's making the calls for the defense is Bobby Wagner. It's an older Bobby Wagner. It's a different version of Bobby Wagner. This isn't Legion of Boom Bobby Wagner, but this is still one of the smartest, if not the smartest, linebacker in the game right now. And so that's where this game is going to be won. Jaden Daniels is going to make some really incredible plays, right? If the Eagles are not able to control time of possession and keep that Commanders defense on the field and run the football with authority, they will be in trouble in this game. Also, it would bring me great joy to see Dan Schneider upset because he just sent out a big long article about how he's really upset the Commanders are winning. And it would bring me great joy to see
that
him
would
sad.
Be awesome.
I
that
hate
would
that
be
guy.
Awesome.
That guy's a piece a of garbage. Look up how he made his money.
Oh, yeah. I saw garbage. That report come out today. Hey, can you blame the guy? I mean, who wants to, you know, it's like
I can hella blame him.
You break up with your girlfriend, or she breaks up with you, and then they go and have a great lifestyle.
The black guy. yeah.
Yeah. What the hell?
That's what Dan Quinn feels like
right now.
His ex girlfriend that he disrespected and was all these things to. Now she's dating the black guy.
You know that Trump guy. He makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Listen, I think that's a natural feeling to always, resent someone having a successful life after you are no longer a part of it. Like, you definitely feel like you were the reason why you were maybe holding them back. And Dan Snyder is 100% right. He was the reason why they were holding them
Absolutely.
Back. Absolutely. All right. Let's lose some money or maybe win some money.
Definitely
let's see if Rashad has any chance left.
Don't be a jerk, bro, to
tie the Who Do You Love championship for this year.
You know I can't tie it.
If Will has a chance to help out Jordan Schultz and make a little comeback here in Who Do You Love, or if it's sealed, if these last 2 weeks even matter. We get to that next. Who do you love? Right here, Football Sunday. But first, Will, SportsCenter update.
Who do you love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Who do you love? First, let's take a look at the Sports Sunday poll question. 33 votes, and we posted just about 24 minutes ago, but poll question was, would you take one Super Bowl victory for your favorite team if it meant no playoff appearance for the next 25 years? 51.5% said, hell yeah, are you kidding? 48.5% says, no, I want a good team. So they're saying, no, I want a team that at least is going to be in the playoffs and at least competing.
But could you imagine your team winning, you know, those three championships or whatever, or that championship, and then you're not even competitive? Like, you, why would I even want to watch after that? I know you have no chance to win. Not to say you can't win in that 20 years, like, if you decide you don't want the easy championship, but... Man, like, to go that long, and mind you, as Blazer fans, we're on year like 3 or 4 and we are over it. Like, this is stupid. Yeah. This is dumb. So imagine 20 of those to be a Browns fan? Really? Or to be a
Mariners fan?
To be a Titans fan? A Mariners fan? Like, come on, man. Like, yo.
A Cowboys fan.
Come on, man.
In your lifetime, they've won titles.
Dude, I was 4 when they won their last Super Bowl. All right. That team was put on me when I had no free will. All right. Looking at last week's picks, Bill, my picks were Bills Ravens over 51.5, which someone on the text line last week, they called me out. They're like, you sure about that one? I was like, no, I'm not sure about that. But it still hit. Rashad, to try and claim some ground on me, you took the under on Bills Ravens, and thank you for that last touchdown. But
you know how upset I was? That's the first time all season I've been upset about losing fake money. It's like, no, like, effing way.
Like, damn it. So that hit. I also had Hurts anytime touchdown. That hit right away.
Immediately.
I was like, let's go. I was 2-0 going into the national championship game, and I had Notre Dame covering 8.5, which by somehow, some way, that actually had a chance at the end. And then Ohio State had to hit that field goal with like 30 seconds left in the game to go up by 11. I was just like, son of a bitch.
They could have left that alone, but
I greatly appreciated that one as a 9.5 Ohio State better.
Yeah, there was a lot of people out there that were very thankful for that field goal. So that gave me a 2-1 week. Again, Rashad, you had Bills Ravens under. You did take Ohio State to cover the 8.5, so that field goal did help. And then you went Devontae Smith anytime touchdown.
Yeah, I thought he was going to have a big game. Stupid me.
I believe the...
I knew A.J. Brown was going to be just all type of bottled up, and this is going to be the game where you come out and do some crazy stuff, and he didn't.
Well, I want to say that Eagles receivers had a total of 4 receptions, I believe, last Sunday. It was either 3 or 4 receptions in the game against the Rams, so not a great day to be an Eagles receiver in general. And then Jordan had a 2-1 week. His Lamar Jackson anytime touchdown did not hit, but Ohio State covering and the Rams covering +7, which, again, that game was over 4.5 minutes left. The Rams covering alone was a bit of a miracle bet there. Luckily, none of us took the Texans covering against the Chiefs, and then the Matt Araiza running out of the back of the end zone to let the Chiefs cover that one. I'm sorry if you did put a bet on that out there, but yeah, that was a rough one. That was one of the worst bad beats I've seen in a while.
Yeah. Ooh.
I mean, especially with the the Texans missing the field goal. So then if you have the Texans, or excuse me, I'm trying to think of how the situation played out. So yeah, the Texans missed the field goal, and you're then still covering if you're the Chiefs, right? You're like, all right, we're good. We're fine. But then Araiza goes out and runs out of the back of the end zone, and then you still lose by 11. Yeah, if you had that 9.5, that's rough. That's a rough beat there for you. But looking at today's games, plenty of prop bets, plenty of things you can bet on. I am going to go to the Eagles-Commanders game. This is a divisional matchup between these two in the NFC Conference Championship. Divisional matchups are always close. I am going to take the Commanders covering plus six. I think it's going to be a close game. The only time that when they played earlier this year, I believe, was a more than 6 points. Yeah, the Eagles won 26-18. And granted, the Commanders winning last time, that was when Hurts got injured, got the concussion, left. Kenny Pickett came in, and the Commanders ended up winning. But I feel like teams that are in the same division always play each other close, especially when you get into the playoffs. So I'm going to go that the Commanders cover plus six against the Eagles.
Stick with the same game. The over under is 46.5. I'm taking the under. I think today defense has really got to show up. I think both teams know it. Both teams have incredibly versatile quarterbacks and run games that can do a whole lot, but then they both have receivers on both ends that can really take the top off, and both named AJ. So we'll see, you know, how things work out there. So I'm super excited for this game, but I'm taking the under today, 46.5.
Will, filling in for Jordan.
I got scary Terry McLaurin getting an anytime touchdown. That's going to be at plus 130, so you get more money back than what you bet. McLaurin has scored in both of the playoff games so far, the Commanders. He is the number one target for Jaden Daniels, and the beauty of McLaurin is he can score from deep. He can get you on a big explosive play. He can score inside of the red zone. He can make one man miss and take it all the way to the house. He is a guy score in a variety of different ways.
Really nice.
He can beat you with speed. He can beat you with precision route running, and he can sometimes just be stronger than DBs. I like McLaurin to get a touchdown.
All right. Terry McLaurin, anytime touchdown, got you in there. I'm going to ride with my Bills. Bills, just money line. I'm going to take them to just win straight up. I know that the Chiefs right now are getting 2.5 in some spots, but I'm riding with my Buffalo Bills and that they end up ending the Chiefs season and they go to their first Super Bowl since, God, what was it, 92?
Before I was born.
So the Buffalo Bills are going to get it done today, boys. I'm calling it. Let it happen. I'm putting that positive energy into there.
I mean, I wish I felt you, Joe. Pause. But I'm definitely taking Kansas City today. The money line is Kansas City -2.5. Or -2? You said 2.5? I'm seeing two.
I mean,
I think it's two.
It's two? I think it's gotten bet to two now that we're getting closer to the game.
I think it's going
to
be a close game. It wouldn't shock me if it were even a lower scoring game, just based on how well these teams know each other and how prepared both head coaches are going to be. So I think I will take that Chiefs -2.5.
I'm going to take the Chiefs -2.
-2, forgive me. I'm sorry.
I'm taking them at -2. I got it earlier in the week at -1.5. It's simple. You don't make money betting against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. If you lose that bet,
you do today.
You lose that bet. It is what it is. I haven't bet it, but now that you talked about the under, it did remind me of this stat. There's only a couple teams this year who haven't scored 30 points. Did you know that Kansas City is one of them?
Yes, I did know that.
Yeah, they haven't scored 30 points this whole year, and they were 15-2.
That's wild. Wild. Doesn't surprise me, though. Again, I saw that stat. I think it was either before the playoffs or when the regular season ended that they were the one team to do that. And I was like, God, with how good they are, that is shocking. But also, we've seen how the team has played throughout the year, so it is not entirely surprising there at all. And for my last one, I am going to go to the Bills-Chiefs game again, and I am going to go with Old Faithful Josh Allen anytime touchdown. He got two last week. I believe that when you get in close to the goal line, that he is a surefire bet to run a quarterback keeper, quarterback draw, something like that. So I'm rolling with Josh Allen anytime touchdown on the way to a Bills victory.
Are we still sticking with football?
Yeah. Do you want to go Blazers?
Yeah, I'm going to take Blazers hosting OKC. OKC is favored by 13.5.
That's it?
I think it's going to be way more than that. So, yeah, definitely I'm taking the Blazers to.
Hey, Blazers are trying to win 5 in a row.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, that's a great thing for this Blazers team to be doing is winning games,
like,
right?
We're in purgatory, I guess, man.
So what is it, OKC 13.5?
Yeah, I'm going to win by much more than that.
Okay. Will, last pick.
Yeah, so I was going to take Josh Allen right there with you. So I'm going to cheat and take another player as well, so it's a slightly different bet. Give me Josh Allen and Saquon Barkley combined for a touchdown parlay. You're going to have to let me know what it is, because when I bet it on Monday, and Josh Allen was plus 115. And I know that number has now come to not being on plus money.
You know, that sounds like something Schultzy would do. That sounds like a Schultzy bet to me.
That sounds par for the course, yeah.
I mean, what was it? 2 weeks ago, he took, in the Packers game, Saquon Barkley to get two touchdowns. He was just a week early on that one.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate he didn't bet that last week when Saquon Barkley did have two touchdowns. So our bets, I got Commanders plus 6, Bills money line, Josh Allen anytime touchdown. I currently stand at 27-20-1 on this season. Rashad,
you have to start giving out records, Joe. We get it.
Rashad, you are 18-26-1. So I think even with 6 wins and no losses, and I get 6 losses here in the next 2 weeks, that I still pull it out. I would still beat you. You are taking Eagles, Commanders under 46.5, Chiefs minus 2, and Oklahoma City minus 13.5. Jordan, though, if Jordan wins out, gets 6 wins, no losses, and I lose out, then he would beat me by like 0.001 win percentage. So he is depending on you right now.
He needs me. Hey, last time I got 2-1.
He needs you to have a big week. You are going with Terry McLaurin anytime touchdown, Chiefs minus 2, and Allen Barkley combined parlay touchdown bet. So that is your picks for this week. All right, let's wrap things up. Do we go Blazers next?
Do we have to?
Do we wrap up with a Blazers combo? Because what a week, huh? We fighting for a play-in spot, huh?
I mean, you're not far off considering where the play-in spots, you know, are right now. So, hey.
We wrap up the show next here, Football Sunday, 10 of the Fan.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
All right, a couple minutes left here. Let's go to the poll question to avoid talking about the Blazers. The Sports Sunday poll question: would you take one Super Bowl victory for your favorite team if it meant no playoff appearances for the next 25 years? We have a shift in the votes. It is now in favor of people saying, no, I want a good team. So they would rather have a team that just competes and at least gives you a hope of a chance.
Thank you, folks. That's all I want.
Versus a one-time winner. I personally, and I said that, and how the vote splits right now, 47.9% says hell yeah, they would take that Super Bowl victory if it meant no playoffs for the next 25 years. And then 52.1% saying no, I want a good team. Some people also, someone said on Twitter, easy yes, take the Super Bowl when a Super Bowl is a rare achievement. Someone saying a Dolphin fan for 45 years. I'm still waiting for a freaking playoff victory. Last time was 25 years ago.
Is that your pops?
It is not my dad.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
And then someone just throwing strays at me saying I still will never cheer for Dallas. I don't know what that has to do with it, but it's rude.
I mean, they're not wrong though. I mean, unless primetime became their coach, you know, then I'm like, okay, I might like Dallas for a second.
Yeah, again, I feel like this comes down to, like, what your favorite team is and also your favorite teams. I mean, I am desperate for a championship in any league for any of my teams.
Yeah.
We talked about this a few weeks ago. I think out of all the fan personalities, the collection of my favorite sports teams, it's the saddest, most pain-filled teams. I am a Cowboys fan. I am a Ducks fan. I am a Trailblazers fan. I am a Baltimore Orioles fan. Well, I mean, what do I got going for me right now? Cowboys always is a mess, will be a mess, still a mess. Blazers, they don't know what the hell they even want to do. I mean, that team is so directionless right now. Their compass is broken. Orioles have a great regular season.
Good young crew. Good young core.
And then they lose in the playoffs. They get swept. They haven't won a playoff game since 2016-17. I think they're 0-10 in their last 10 playoff games.
Damn.
Ducks, self-explanatory there. Great teams, can't get it done. My Pitt Panthers in college basketball, it ain't the Pitt Panthers of years past with DeJuan Blair and Jamie Dixon running those teams. It's tough. It's tough. You don't want this life, Rashad.
Well, I am a Blazers fan, so I know but a you're lot a Patriots about this, Mike. But the Patriots were pretty bad for a long time before Belichick really came, and after Pete Carroll, there was some dark days there for the Pats, and now there seem to be some darker ones right now. So I understand, but being a Blazer fan, not cool. So if any championships to be won, I don't live in New England. I live here in Portland. I want to see the Blazers win a championship, and I'm taking that whole couple days off of work.
Will, you're a Seahawks fan, right?
Yeah, so I've already seen my Seahawks championship, which was, like, that was awesome. That was a great day for your boy. A little too young to truly celebrate it, but a Mariners one would be big. That's the next one that I want. That's the next one I really care about.
See, and yeah, you saying, like, I want this specific team. I just want any of them. Just one, for the love of God. I want to feel that feeling of a championship.
It's great, dude. It's great. I'd love a Seahawks one again, but if I had to rank, it's Mariners. Although Seahawks are my favorite.
All right. Everybody out there, enjoy your conference championship Sunday. Hopefully we just get good games. That's always the ask, right?
Hope, fingers crossed.
Rashad, thank you as always.
My guy.
Will, thank you for coming in on
appreciate
short notice.
You, bud.
Appreciate you as always. And all the listeners out there, appreciate you as well. Enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy the conference championship games. And we will catch you next Sunday at 9 a.m. Peace.